friendly reminder that Coast to Coast Hoops is sponsored by Better. That is B-E-T-R. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better, B-E-T-R, or Better.app now. Sign up today and you'll get a free $10, no deposit necessary. A warm and friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends, Matt Josephs. You know him better as Mid-Major Matt. He does great work with Ariel Epstein's Prop Queen website and podcast. He's going to be joining me here in a few minutes. We're going to be taking a look at some of the betting angles that he's keying in on for the start of the college basketball season. Why you want to, if you're a little bit newer to college basketball, just hone in on a few conferences. There are 365 Division I college basketball teams, and trying to analyze 365 college basketball teams if you're in your first year of college basketball betting, I would not encourage it. You want to slowly build yourself up. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about a few teams that he's feeling bullish/bearish on, how big chemistry is this time of year as well. So we're going to have a good, clean chat with Matt here in a minute. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Cuz Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Well, I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today. We are getting you guys set for what is going to be an amazing college basketball season. I'm locked in trying to be able to look at as much injury information as humanly possible right now. I know that I always get asked where you look for injury information. You just actually search the player's name on Twitter/X, since pretty much every single team's beat reporter is out there on social media, whether that be the big of the big teams out there in the power conferences or out there in like the America East, the Big South, conferences like that. And then RotoWire CBB, they're a very good follow this time of year as well. So those are a few to be able to get you guys started, since I know that you guys are always looking for that information, and hopefully that points you guys in the right direction there. And I'm going to be looking at that then next few days, and we're going to have a few two-part chats here over the weekend, and then from there, it's picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. We've nearly gotten there, so the wait is almost over, and I know that our good friend Mid-Major Matt, he is chomping at the bit to be able to fire in on these games as well. He does such an excellent job looking at this great game of college basketball. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at Mid-Major Matt, all together, nice and easy. And Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's like Christmas Eve for us college basketball fans as we get ready for the start of play.
Yep, we are approaching the final weekend without college basketball in our lives. And man, it is a glorious time. And Matt, when it comes to your research, you, much like myself, gauge this great sport all 12 months out of the year. But what are some of the last second things that you do to get set for the upcoming college basketball season? Because as we're doing there's a few very marquee games like Arizona versus Florida that have an initial lineup. But past that, we're waiting upon the mid-major games that we both very much know and love to be able to bet on. We're waiting lines on that. What are some of the last things that you do to make sure you're as prepared for the season as humanly possible?
I think checking out scrimmage box scores and things like that, just to kind of make sure style is still going. Injuries are not an issue for anybody. Of course, you know, at the start of the season, you know, injury reports are not as prevalent, at least until conference play. So you just want to kind of make sure and do your last second research and things like that. I like to, especially when I'm looking at the first couple weeks of the season, I like to look at the number of returning starters, or at least the percentage of returning minutes. I believe early on, I buy more teams that know what they have than what they don't have. So that's where I think some of the upsets come, is when you get the mid-majors who have a lot of guys back against a team that has a lot of talent but hasn't necessarily played a lot together.
Yep, and I am right there with you. And when it comes to teams that do have a lot of transfers, I've talked about this on the podcast over the last few weeks, and I want to get your thoughts on it as well. How about you take a look at teams that they bring in multiple guys from the same school, and so sometimes that's like with a coaching change. We certainly saw that with Ben McCollum bringing over a lot of guys from Drake, but even a little bit further, a team like Creighton is a team that I think I might be betting on quite a bit towards the early part of the season because they bring in multiple guys from Iowa, which ironically enough, it all comes back to them. And I think that that's always something that plays a big role towards the beginning part of the season.
Yeah, it's something I think people don't necessarily consider because if you look at some of these schools and then just assume, all right, new coach, new system, people don't know who they are. I'll give you the case in point in college football. I think a lot of people saw Southern Miss as a team that was going to struggle. They lost some guys. They brought in a new head coach. But what people didn't understand was the head coach basically brought over the best players from Marshall and people who already know his system. So when you have a situation like Creighton where a guy, you know, has and brings in some players from the same team, they know how to play with each other. And so I think that's huge. And I think there's some people who don't necessarily look at that. And you might get some value early on some of those teams when you do have that sort of situation because they do know how to play with each other.
Yep, I am right there with you. Those are some of the big things that I'm going to be taking a look at, and it is always nice to be able to have that reassurance that these guys have, at the very least, had a little bit of a sample size together. Sure, maybe only bringing over two or three guys from the same school isn't an end-all be-all, but I think that is also a very nice starting point. As joining me on the podcast, we do have mid-major Matt, a.k.a. Matt Joseph, does great work over at the Prop Queen website and podcast, also ESPN Radio out there in Richmond. He's joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, and you're a man that is based out there in Richmond, Virginia, and you've got a lot of very intriguing local schools. VCU, Virginia, both are teams with new coaches. Obviously, you've got a few other mid-majors, like a Richmond is going to be an intriguing team out there in the Atlantic 10, and just out there in your neck of the woods, how are you basing those teams around? Because I think that the entire state of Virginia, just up and down the boulevard, even a team like a Radford has a lot of injury coming into the season.
Yeah, the Zach Chu hire for Radford with all the analytics that he's going to bring, it's either going to go really well or it's going to fail spectacularly. Like, I'm not necessarily a huge analytics guy. I'm not necessarily thinking it's going to go great, but, you know, at least he has a plan. So we're going to see what Radford can do. But I think that was a really interesting hire of bringing him in. VCU, I think, is going to be tremendous. I think that they brought in the right players from Bryant. I think Coach Martelli is going to do some good things there. And I think they have a system that's in place that no matter who the head coach is and a culture that they're going to win. So I think VCU is certainly going to be fine. I think Virginia, despite the fact that they pretty much lost everybody, I think there's one freshman who was back. I think Elijah Gertrude is the only guy that was on the roster last year. I think the fact is you're going to have a great roster put together by Ryan Odom. Now, is there going to be growing pains? Potentially, yes, but I think this is a tournament team in Charlottesville. I also think Virginia Tech is going to be a sleeper. They brought in two players from overseas who I think are going to help legitimize them. And I think we forget last year, they lost their point guard like a week or two before the season. And that kind of ruined everything with the whole Hassir Miller Temple stuff. And I think giving a quiet offseason for the Hokies, I think they're going to be a team that could be a wild card in that conference. And then, yeah, you mentioned Richmond. I think Richmond's going to potentially surprise some people, although I don't love their roster. You know, that's a team that it feels like we can never figure out because a couple of years ago they were picked to finish towards the bottom and they won the conference. And then last year, you know, they weren't as good. So Richmond's going to be a bit of a wild card. And I think this, JMU is going to be an under team. You know, we used to think Virginia was the under team in the state. It's going to be a JMU. They played like a 62-57 exhibition game with Richmond. I think JMU is going to be that team that plays a lot of those games. Sometimes they're going to be the 57, sometimes they're going to be the 62. But we know that Preston Spradlin is going to teach defense to JMU, and it's whether or not they can get enough points on any given night.
Yep, and I do think that that is going to be an intriguing team. And I know that we talked about the Sun Belt once before on this podcast with you, but I do think that that is such an interesting conference. And I think that not just James Madison might be a really good under team to begin the season. I think a lot of those Sun Belt teams might be because you recall this. South Alabama played one of the most unique styles I've ever seen in my life last year where over 58% of opponents' field goal attempts came from three. And the whole reason why is that the entire conference doesn't shoot threes, and I think if you look up and down the boulevard at the Sun Belt, the teams like Troy, the teams like Old Dominion, you mentioned James Madison, the Georgia schools, yes, even though some of these schools might play fast, I think that there might be a lot of unders to be had with these schools because they just don't emphasize three-point shooting in that conference.
Yeah, they just don't do it, and Texas State was another one of those teams that just didn't shoot three-pointers, and they played really slow.
And they actually shot decent from three, too.
Right, exactly, yeah, especially if you look at that run they made in the Sun Belt tournament, what was it, 2 years ago, they really did. But yeah, it kind of shows you what, 8 different schools got a first place vote in the preseason poll. The coaches were the ones who voted, aka the SIDs were the one who voted for the coaches and made it look like the coaches. But yeah, the Sun Belt's going to be a lot of fun. And I think you're going to get a lot of unders in this conference. I think you're going to get some games where the faster teams get very frustrated by the slow pace. So maybe we see an upset or two in non-conference play for the Sun Belt. But this one is wild. If you want to go out there and find some value, maybe bet on a champion, I can't say that there's maybe like one or two teams who I think can't win the championship here. But I think the Sun Belt represents a lot of value because any given night, somebody could find themselves some success.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I might be willing to rule out Louisiana Monroe for being able to win the Sun Belt title, but I ain't really past that. That is going to be a very fun conference to be looking at, and I do think that those teams are going to be very interesting when it comes to non-conference play, and I do think that this is a great stopping point for part number one before I pick Matt's brain as to some of the teams that he looks at in terms of trends, if he does utilize any of them towards the non-conference portion part of the season, because I do think that in college basketball, it's the sport that you utilize trends at least in, but I do think that there might be a little bit of something to be had when it comes to some of these teams and the way that they dominate slash not dominate teams in non-conference play, the style of play, what have you. So we're going to be diving in on that. We'll take a look at a few teams that Matt is feeling a little bit bull slash bearish on. We're going to be talking a little ACC, the teams out there in his neck of the woods. I know that he is out there in Atlantic 10 country, so we're going to be chatting about that and so much more on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eats Peterson. Now, for the VEASAN Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Great to be rejoined by Matt Josephs. You know him better as Mid-Major Matt. Does great work over at Ariel Epstein's Prop Queen website and podcast. He does a tremendous job over at ESPN Radio in Richmond as well. A man of very, very many different talents. You're able to follow him on Twitter /X at Mid-Major Matt altogether. And Matt, I know that we're doing a great job of getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. And this is something that I do take a look at this time of year. Some of the historical trends from these coaches and these teams in non-conference play. This is the one time a year where I do factor in trends a little bit more, because I do think in college basketball it's very difficult to be able to do so, because you've got brand spanking new rosters every year. Certainly you've got the same coaches in the same places for a very long time, but a lot of these coaches have had to adapt quite a bit more. Just look at what Wisconsin did last year as opposed to like 2 years ago. But how much do you take a look at some of these past season trends to be able to put forth just a little bit of, just to be able to gauge some of these totals a little bit more? Because I know that you play a lot of team totals when it comes to the non-conference portion of the season.
Yeah, I'm not as much of a trends person in the past because, as you said, you know, the rosters just change way too much. Now, look, if you want to give me trends under head coaches, that's different. Like if there are certain head coaches who tend to blow out the bad teams in non-conference and have no problem doing so, like that is something I will kind of look at. But like, you know, other trends, I'm just not a fan necessarily of. I look at KenPom a lot, so obviously I look at that sort of thing. But like, I also know that for non-conference play, and I'm sure you agree, you will have some of your best wins in terms of point spread victories, and you will have some of your worst losses because we know as much as the books do. So there's going to be a game where sometimes some team is an underdog by 20 points and they end up winning the game and you're on that side, or you could have a team that's, you know, an underdog by 5 points and they lose by 40 and you're on the wrong side there. I just know the non-conference time is when some of my best wins are going to happen and some of my worst losses are going to happen, because none of us really know how some of these games are going to go so early on.
Oh, I am right there with you. I'll sometimes have like a big giant advantage on a team and I'll look like the biggest fool in the world. And there are other times where it's like, wow, this 6-point underdog should actually be the favorite. And the 6-point underdog wins by double figures. So I'm right there with you. Sometimes you look like a genius. Sometimes you look like a fool. And that's what happens in college basketball. And how important is it to just be making some, shall we say, quick adjustments on some of these teams? Because there are 365 teams out there. You named me the first person to get correct all 365 teams coming into the season, and I would love to shake their hand and be able to pick their brain because, well, with 365 teams, it's just not going to happen. And how do you take a look at adjustments? Because I do think that in this day and age with so many transfers, you have to make bigger and larger adjustments earlier in the season than you did even, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Early on, I stick to a couple conferences and a couple of teams that I know really well, and then I kind of have the other ones on the periphery. Like, I'm watching some of the other schools and some of the other conferences. I may not be making bets, but making mental notes to see how some of the games go. I think that's the most important thing, especially for some of the beginners. There are so many teams, as you just mentioned, you can't know everybody. Like, you do a very good job with every team, but there's some that you're probably more comfortable with than others. So I recommend, like, if you're in whatever part of the country, you kind of stick to that. Early on, I'll be an A-10 guy, an ACC guy, you know, dabble a little bit in some of the Sun Belt stuff. The conferences I have to know for my radio show here, I certainly will be watching everything and making mental notes and kind of saying, all right, well, this game went this way. The next time these two teams play, or the next time this team plays against a team with a similar style, this is what could happen here. So I think you don't have to be afraid to sit out a lot and not play as many things early while you're learning everything about the sport.
And I think that that is such great advice by you, because when it comes to college basketball, it takes a very, very long time to be able to acquire information and knowledge about these schools. If you're just starting out, don't try to swallow down information on 365 schools. Go for like 5 different conferences that are out there in your neck of the woods. Like, I grew up in the great state of Wisconsin. Maybe you do the Big Ten, the Horizon League, and the MAC or something like that. I think that that is great advice that you just gave there. Matt, as Matt Josephs, he does a great job and is better known as Mid-Major Matt, joins me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I know that you talked about taking a look at the ACC quite a bit. And how are you going to be evaluating that conference coming into the year? Because I think that there's a lot of intriguing teams in the middle. That middle slash bottom portion has costed a lot. A lot of teams bids the NCAA tournament. How often have we seen a team like a Wake Forest come up just short of an NCAA tournament bid, Pittsburgh, schools like that? And I think the real intrigue is how those middle teams do, because I think that that's going to determine if this conference is truly back or if it's going to be another disappointing year.
Yeah, can Will Wade resurrect NC State? Like, I think he can, and obviously he's got a really good roster, but he's going to be part of that middle somewhat. Virginia, obviously part of that middle, and I believe in what Ryan Odom's doing. You know, Clemson is one of those teams. I really like Brad Brownell, so even when it doesn't seem like there's a ton of talent there, I believe in Brad Brownell. SMU is a factor. I think teams, people forget sometimes that they're in the ACC, so like, I agree with you. You know, you can throw out the Boston Colleges. I actually think Cal could be a really interesting team this year.
I think Stanford, actually.
Stanford could be too, but like, I think, you know, Cal with Mark Madsen, I think he's got some talent. His transfer portal guys are really good. You know, he pulls Day-Day Ames from Virginia. He pulls Chris Bell from Syracuse, and I can attest as a Syracuse alum, Chris Bell is really good in some games and he's not very good in other games. But like, I think that Mark Madsen is a very good coach. And yeah, Cal's really good. I like what Kyle Smith is able to do. I think he's a good coach. And look, my alma mater has a good roster. I don't necessarily believe in Red Autry, but if he comes together and coaches better, I think Syracuse could be a team that could make the NCAA tournament from the bottom of that conference. The question is, you know, how good of a coach is he? And then, you know, Wake Forest, another guy, Steve Forbes. Like, there's a lot of legitimate coaches in this league that have down rosters, but I can still believe in them. Florida State, like, I think we're going to see a completely different Florida State this year from when Leonard Hamilton was there. Now, is that a good thing? I don't know, but I love Leonard Hamilton. I always enjoyed talking to him at ACC Media Day. And then Notre Dame, I think, is really interesting. Notre Dame has their shooters. Brayden Shrewsbury is a really good shooter. Marcus Burton is a really good player. Like, I think Notre Dame has some decent talent there, but they've got to figure out the defensive end, and they've got to find potentially a third scorer behind those first two guys.
Yep, they certainly do. And One team that I'm also starring a little bit as well, because I was overlooking them a lot towards the beginning portion of the offseason. And the more that I look at them, the more that I like them. I know that they had a little bit of a rough exhibition result against Seton Hall, but that's Virginia Tech because they bring in Nicholas Amadeus. He's like 6'7", 6'8", gentleman from Greece that does a little bit of everything. How about you take a look at, for one, this Virginia Tech team, and two, the international guys that come into the ACC, because it feels like the ACC has really embraced bringing in a lot of international guys, as it feels like almost every roster has at least one of these guys.
Yeah, Avdalis is a guy that was in the NBA draft and then pulled his name out of the NBA draft. I mean, that is something that adds a little bit of legitimacy to it. And I like Mike Young. I think people are down on Mike Young after last year, but as we talked about, like the circumstances of the point guard thing right before the season kind of hurt him. You know, getting Toby Lawal back and having Toby Lawal get the NBA draft advice that he got to be able to be a little tougher inside and maybe add a 3-point shot. You know, I talked to him at ACC Media Day, and some of the things that he was discussing that they told him about, I think it's going to help him out. And then you got a guy like Jalen Bedford there and Jaden Schutt and things like that. I think Tech is either going to be an upper echelon team that could upset some of those other squads, or I think that, you know, there's too many new pieces and they could struggle. But I believe in Mike Young. And you mentioned some of the other guys, like Virginia brought a German center in who I think is really interesting. And that is potentially the only hole is the center position for Virginia, but they may go smaller and just play a lot of five guard or five forward sets where they just come at you and not have a true center. So yeah, there are a lot of foreign players that are entering the ACC who could add some intrigue.
Yep, I agree with you. And I do think that there's going to be a lot of fun to be had with these ACC teams, as Matt Joseph, better known as Major Matt, he joins me right here on Coast to Coast Soups. And then I do want to ask you about this as well, because we are, as I'm recording this, like 48 to 72 hours away from having a whole bunch of game lines up. Like I said, we've only got like two or three marquee games that are currently up on the board, but we're getting set for it. How much do you take a look at just various things like style of play this time of year that maybe you wouldn't be looking at as much in, say, January and February? Because I do think that this time of year, a team that plays a distinct style like a Merrimack, a Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian, insert your favorite team here, those are teams I need to give a little bit more of an upgrade to now rather than when they get into conference play. And then additionally, a school like a Wyoming that plays at elevation, I think that these are good teams to be betting on towards the early part of the season that maybe not a lot of people are factoring in for.
Yeah, the one thing is with regard to some of these road trips, you know, I think teams, especially in the beginning part of the season, they can always fly out there a little earlier if they need to. That's why that first trip to Hawaii for football, like I'm not as worried about, you know, having fun in the sun and stuff like that, because you can go out there earlier and stuff like that. So the tough road trips, the kind of the other thing that you want to look forward to is some of the look ahead spots. You know, there are going to be huge non-conference games a lot this season, and there's going to be lesser games before then. So you want to potentially look at a look ahead spot. And then you also want to look at the neutral court games. You know, the neutral court games are very important because that one you're trying to guess, all right, whose fan base might have a little bit more there? Who has more veterans who can handle a neutral court setting? Because remember, not a lot of fans are going to be at some of those games, and you have to have the right roster to be able to handle that. If you have a really young team and they go play a game in front of seven people, it might affect them more than a team with seniors who has done it before. And then, of course, as we get closer and closer to November, you know, you've got the games at Atlantis and Hawaii and Alaska. Well, we don't have the Alaska anymore, but you know what I mean? Like these random locations that if you have the wrong team, they'll treat it too much like a vacation instead of playing games. So that's something you want to look for. And that's why I also bet on the veteran teams a little bit more early than I do later.
Yep, and I know that they were playing games out there in a ballroom in West Virginia that seated like 200 people between like power conference teams, Wisconsin and Central Florida last year as well. So you've got a lot of wackadoo, strange matchups there, but a man that does a great job of parsing it through it all, a man that is very prepared for what is going to be an amazing college basketball season is you, Matt. Love the good people at home. Know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, I'd love to get your opinion on this. The two teams that I'm kind of interested in potentially taking to win their conferences, GW in the Atlantic 10. I've been saying GW.
I put them number one in my projected order finish in the Atlantic 10. I am a GW fan, so I am right there with you.
Yeah, I really like this GW team. I think Chris Caputo has been doing some good things there, and being able to keep Rafael Castro and being able to get Trey Dinkins, I think that's going to help there. So I really like GW, and I can't decide if this is my fandom or not, but I think Temple could be an interesting team in the American. I just think Temple is a team that has a lot of talent. I like their head coach. He guided them when they were dealing dealing with all the gambling stuff. They nearly won the conference with all that stuff going on. I think he's got a really good roster. If he can find some shooting, I think Temple, especially if Memphis is not as good this year and UAB losing Yaxel, I think Temple could be a team in the AAC. So really looking forward to it. As you said, I'm doing some last preparations for the season. And of course, that is something we're looking forward to. You can find all my bets in the Action Network. They all get tracked. And of course, we've got a couple games left in the baseball season. College football is going on. Occasionally do NFL props and things like that. You can follow me on Twitter at MidMajorMatt. As you mentioned, I do stuff for the Prop Queen. I'm on her podcast on Mondays and Fridays. So that's a place you can see me as well. And of course, a frequent guest of this podcast and ready to give some winners out as we get this college basketball season started.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a little bit less in on Temple than I am on George Washington, but I will say this. The entire American is going to be a very intriguing conference because after South Florida, who I'm a very much a stan of, and Memphis, there's a big drop off from there. So I do think that there's going to be a large middle on that front. And Matt, he is doing an incredible job of getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. Every single time he joins me, he lends such great insights, and he did so once again today. So a big thanks to Matt for joining me on Cusco Soups, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Cusco Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you like here on this podcast via that 5-star review, and we are less than a half a week away from the start of the college basketball season. I'm not sure if you can't wait for it, but as you can tell, I certainly can't wait for it. The picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, it is back in our lives. We are going to have just a few more two-part conversations. I'll be letting you guys in if we see any pressing injury information over the next few days. And if there really isn't a whole heck of a lot pressing, if there's minor things, you're going to be getting that on the game previews and all of the analysis that you're going to be getting starting on Monday. So we've got you guys covered there. I'm hard at work to make sure that this is the most profitable season ever for you guys. And it's always a pleasure to join you guys. And I'll be back to you once again tomorrow. Thank you.